Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the CC Hub podcast. We're happy that you're here listening to us. Today is very special because recently we had a program called Randa Expedition Program, where we basically have people all over the continent join us at the Design Lab for to learn about us, to learn about the different things that we do. But this one was very special because they came from Nigeria and they came to the offices in Rwanda, Design Lab, and they are also a hub, and they got to shadow each department here at Design Lab CC Hub. It was very interesting. Every department and every unit got to get to know them personally. We had about 3 weeks with them. And today we have Funto, who's one of them. She's a communications manager at Innovate Lab, but I'll let her introduce herself. Funto?
Okay. Thank you very much, Joel. Yes. Hello, everybody. My name is Funto Adeshola, and I work at Innovate Lab as the communications manager and the chief of staff. So, yeah.
All right. But if somebody got to ask you, what does Innovate Lab do? What is Innovate Lab?
Okay, so yeah, what does Innovate Lab do? Probably you're just getting to hear about the organization for the first time. So I would say that Innovate Lab is an innovation hub situated in an underserved community in Nigeria. So we are located in Ogbomosho, Oyo State, Nigeria. And our mission is to transform Africans underserved university communities by leveraging technology, entrepreneurship, and placemaking. So how we intend to do this is most universities in underserved communities don't always get the opportunities or access, or don't always have access to opportunities like university communities in the big cities. So imagine a Unilag and a Olabisi Onabanjo University. The access opportunities in these two universities are not the same. So Innovate Lab's goal is to decentralize and democratize opportunities for grassroots talents, especially undergraduate students, fresh graduates, or everybody in the university community. So that is what we do at Innovate Lab. And we achieve these goals by training startup founders support. So we provide support for founders. We provide support and mentorship for entrepreneurs. We have trainings and initiatives. Different programs are actually specific to each of these category of people. And we also provide training for like adults, people in their middle age who are also looking for ways to transition from their conventional career to a tech career. So these are like some of the things that we do. We have like an incubator and an accelerator program. And yeah, just to name a few of some of the things that we do at Innovate Lab.
All right, that's such a great cause. So how did the idea precisely come to Randa? Why Randa? Out of all the other labs you could have visited, why Randa? I know our managing partner mentioned that it was through a conversation. I think he was there with somebody from there, and then you guys decided Randa. But walk me through the process. How did everything go to come to Randa and the Design Lab?
Okay, so how did the idea for the learning expedition came about? My boss, the CEO of Innovate Lab, David, is a very visionary person. And for a very long time, he's been talking about the fact that we need to have like a learning exchange program where members of the lab, of Innovate Lab, can go to like other organizations and also learn their processes, just interact with them, work on hands-on projects, interact with the community where they're working from, and then take all of this knowledge back to Innovate Lab and find ways we can implement some of these learnings. And also maybe getting other workers from other organizations to also learn about the ecosystem here in Ogbomosho, the work that we do at Innovate Lab and all of that. So when the conversation started out with the managing partner of the CC of Mr. Seun Adepoju last year, he's like, okay, yeah, this is something that we've been looking to do for a very long time. And now this is like an opportunity. So, you know, like preparation meeting opportunity. So this is like an opportunity for us to, you know, get right on this project and then we do it. So yeah, that is how the conversation, of course, it's something that has been in the pipeline for a very long time. We're just looking for the right moment to kickstart it. And then when that conversation with you and Adepoju happened, it just is like, okay, yeah, let's get this started. And then why Rwanda? So of course, why not Rwanda really? Rwanda is like a thriving community, a thriving tech ecosystem, or maybe a tech. How does the key learn that enter away from the Rwanda ecosystem and then implement it on the work that they do here in Nigeria? So so it's more like, you know, traveling is like one of the best ways you can learn, right? So it's just more like, okay, let's go to another country to see how these things are being done and how we can also help some of the things that you're working on and how we can take learnings from this journey or from this experience and implement it on some of the things that we are doing. So that is how the whole Rwanda Learning Expedition happened and the reason behind it and why we decided to go to Rwanda.
All right, thank you very much. This will bring me to the next question from the whole experience after coming to Rwanda. I know that you got to shadow different units and you got to explore the design lab. Could you highlight any specific insights or lessons you learned from the hands-on experience?
Okay, so the key learnings or the most memorable moments or experiences while shadowing the teams at the design lab would be for, personally for me, I don't know what the other members of the team that were on the learning expedition would have to say, but for me it would be the time with the community team. And basically because most of my work here at Innove Lab is community facing, right? So I work as the communications manager and then the chief of staff. But prior to all of that, I mean, in between my work as a communications manager and the chief of staff, I work with the community. I work on community development projects. So when we were to shadow the community team, I was very, very keen on taking or soaking in almost every single thing. And yeah. It's I began to saw the tangibility of having one person who is able to manage projects and initiatives. So just my time with the community team sort of opened my eyes to see some of the things that I'd thought about and see them play out right in front of me. My work is so diversified as a chief of staff, rather. Like I interact with the members of staff, creates strategic work on strategic development or strategy and all of it's just so encompassing for me. And then having to like work on different projects and initiatives and sort of finding a way to manage or hold all of these things in perfect balance. So but being at the design lab and shadowing the community team as at that time made me realize that I need somebody who can carry on this vision, who can do this assignment the way I would want it to get done. And to be candid, immediately after, I think that week, I spoke with my HR and said, please get me a community manager. I need somebody that I just need to give that person and say, this is like an idea of a project or an initiative that we can do to help the community. And this person will take my idea from one and multiply it to 100. So because I saw what Abiba and Joel, what you both are doing with the community there in Kigali. And of course, when we spoke, I spoke about that, like we share similar challenges, right? But just in the way you guys navigate and just work on the projects, re-strategizing and just implement some of these things are like, for me, they're like the big takeaways from shadowing the team. Of course, we get to shadow the design team. I'm a designer. We shadow the software development team. Yeah, there are some things I could get from them, but none of it hits me much more than like the community, shadowing the community team. So yeah.
Yes, I'm part of the community team and we had guys, we got ready. We wanted you guys to soak everything as you did get to soak it. Yeah, that is so nice. But apart from the shadowing, what are some of the key things you got in a ball run? That's some of the memorable moments you have at the design lab.
Okay, so memorable moments. I feel like every single time we go out is a memorable moment for me because, like, you're seeing things from another angle, from another perspective. So, but yeah, every all the tours that we went on, the ecosystem tour, going out to visit those organizations, the institution, our trip to the startup house, and Nuskin, that word. Nuskin is very, very, very pivotal for me because I saw like these two organizations sort of have a part of what we offer here at the lab, and I was able to see perfectly how they're able to help the entrepreneurs within their community create events that can bring these entrepreneurs together. Because it's very easy for people to use your workspace and then they are like individualized, like, oh, I'm just here to work, I don't interact with nobody, I'm just going to get my work done. Now we offer a little bit of community event, but not on the scale that these two organizations have done. And I was able, like, it was very, very mind-blowing for me. Yeah, and then like all, to be candid, all the ecosystem tours we had, we went on, like, very memorable. And then yeah, the another thing that stood out for me was just being a part of the mentors for the hackers at ALU, the Code Extreme week, when we get to like provide some guidance to some of these hackers. I mean, being able to share the knowledge that I've acquired over the years working with startup founders and entrepreneurs was just it's something that I really, really do love, right? I was able to speak with these people based on the level of wisdom or knowledge that I've acquired over the years. And of course, people I spoke with, the feedback I got was very like welcoming. It was very encouraging. And then our trip to CMU, my goodness. Man, like
Yes.
that particular trip was so interesting for my memory. Like, yeah, that stuck with me. I've been trying to like find, I'm just every time I think about it, I just keep thinking of, oh wow, this is achievable. And what is that thing that like stuck so well with me? The fact that there are opportunities. Of course, there are opportunities everywhere, but the funds available to execute these opportunities or to even pursue some of these goals that we have might not be available. But this is like an institution that says, see guys, there's money for you. Just come up with your idea. Every single thing you need to take your idea from the ideation stage to you make your first 1 million or whatever money, your first big money is right at the tip of your hands. It's so mind-blowing because we have a, like I said, Innovate Lab operates from an underserved university community. We have like a tech, the name of the school is Lautech University of Technology. It's a tech school. But there are not enough opportunities available for entrepreneurs or tech and techpreneurs to actually help them, or there are not funds even meant for these things. The university is not positioning themselves as grant makers or grant funders or an institution that can provide the right support for these entrepreneurs. So that is why in Ogbomosho, you have a lot of entrepreneurs leaving town the moment they are done with school because there's nothing they're actually waiting for. But imagine a community like CMU, and then you finish while you're still a student, you're working on your project, there's already funds available for you to work on this project. And then by the time you are done, you can keep working on you can keep working on the project. So it's a way to build the community. It's a way to also build to build the economy of that community and make it grow faster. And then it reduces the attrition rate of students or graduates from such communities, which is something that Ogbomosho or most majority of underserved university communities in Nigeria lack. So that particular trip was just so eye-widening. It's like an eye-opener for me. And I was like, God, I wish to have this fund that I really saw just some person in this community or in this environment that can say, okay, see guys, I have such and so amount of money in a particular safe, and just bringing as many entrepreneurs startup founders, techpreneurs, anybody that you know that can execute projects, and we're going to fund them. People need money to execute projects, right? So for me, that's like, because I can go on and on about how these things are like sort of widening my horizon about how to build, like how to also help understand university communities and build the economy of such places. So I just like a little, and then yeah, before I forget, our trip to Muzanze. So yeah, we went to the countryside of the country. So we went to Muzanze, and then we saw the lake. I can't remember, I don't know how to pronounce the name now. Bororo, sorry if I murdered it. But when we saw the twin lakes, and then we went to Elinda chimpanzee sites. So it was really, really fun. Yeah, I enjoyed my time at the countryside. So yeah, these are some of my best experiences or memorable moments during the trip.
My next question is, I know you visited the Norsken community, you visited Vista Valley as well, in Fairview, you visited different communities in Rwanda, and you got to see the ecosystem. What would you say are the different notable differences between this ecosystem in Rwanda and the one in Nigeria?
Okay, yeah. So I think one of the things I mentioned is the availability of funds for people to pursue their goals or opportunities. So during our time in Rwanda, one thing I noticed is like there's so many chances for you to prove yourself. There's so many opportunities available for anybody and anyone who is ready and willing to take on such opportunities. And they're like funds. fund is basically, I don't know, the only thing, myself and my team, every time we go out, like, there's money in this country. There's so much money in this country. And there's money that like people are willing to support you. The support system is just so solid, much more than we saw here. And so one thing, still talking about opportunities, you know, like there are no opportunities in Nigeria. Of course, there are opportunities, but it's like our population is like a disadvantage to us. Like we have more people than the opportunities regularly available, whereas in Rwanda there are like more opportunities than the people available. So even the people that we saw, for me, I think that Rwandans are more receptive people. They are not like I would say like hustlers like individuals in Nigeria. So some of these opportunities available, I was hoping that, especially the hackathon, I was expecting that we'll have more people who will come out to participate in the hackathon. And then there's this other pitch fest that happened after the hackathon. The number of people that I think registered is very small compared to the number of people I was hoping would be a part of this. And then when we went to the startup house, we saw like, and then Alex was talking about the opportunities, the resources, the support that they give to entrepreneurs. In my mind, like these institutions cannot be in Nigeria and you not see the place crowded with people. Right, so those are like the differences here in Nigeria. There are not enough opportunities to saturate the population, whereas in Rwanda there are like more opportunities, but the people are not like grasping them. So and then another thing that I saw is that the government of Rwanda is very, very supportive. And of course, we spoke with somebody from the Rwanda Development Board. And then when she was speaking on like men, I know that the development board in Nigeria or the government of Nigeria, they also are like have similar this thing, but it's not widely open to the public. While she was speaking with us the day she came to speak with us, in my head, I was thinking that if you're going to like have a meeting with a government official, you would have to go through very, very rigorous process, right? And this is just somebody, she even left our office to come speak with us. You have to go meet them or find a way to incentivize and all of that. So I think the government of Rwanda is very, very open to entrepreneurs, tech enthusiasts, startup founders, just anyone and everyone who is willing to, you know, help build the economy of Rwanda. So maybe that is why because I feel like the economy of Rwanda is thriving. It is not yet there, but it is a green economy. And with the right vision that the president has set and the goals and all of that, think about the the innovation city, is it the tech city? I can't remember the exact name that they use right now. It's something that will also encourage like investors, even expatriates to come down to the country and build sustainable businesses. So like these are like a few things I noticed that is quite different from the operations in Rwanda, the business operations in Rwanda and that of Nigeria. Because and then yeah, one thing that also stood out to me, talking about the government, the support from the government, is the support that the government provided to Irembo. I think that's the right word. I think that's the word now, Irembo. Or that's the pronunciation of the organization. Yeah, and then the fact that Irembo has all government services on one platform, one digital platform, is so really, I mean, it's really nice to see. We have like digital platforms in Nigeria scattered all over the place. CAC has their own. CAC is like when you're trying to register your business, Corporate Affairs Commission, they have their own. If you're going to get your e-visa platform, have their own platform. Everything is just so scattered. And when you're even trying to, when you're applying for this thing, it takes weeks, if not months, to get a certificate, right? For the past almost 6 weeks now, we've been trying to pay for our annual returns, or just like update our annual returns. We made the payment, but the certificate is not ready. So imagine, but this platform, Irembo, just makes it very seamless within hours, if not minutes. Or I'm not sure there's any service that take more than like a week to complete. So all of these things are just somehow like, oh God, if you can just have something as seamless as this, like a one-stop shop for anything government services, anything that you literally want to do, it will make a whole lot of
Thank you very much. I think my last question would be, looking ahead, how do you envision leveraging the insights and connections that you gain from this expedition and this whole experience?
When I was speaking earlier, I mentioned about during our time shadowing the community team, there are certain things that I started working that I started implementing with my HR back in Nigeria. But aside from that, there are other conversations that that kickstarted while we're still in Rwanda with my CEO about some of the things I think we can work on, starting from operations to the culture, the people, projects and initiatives, processes that we can implement, suggestions, and so many other things. Even to the part of the management of our board of directors, right? There are just so many things. Like, being in that environment, especially at the design lab, I was able to see so many things. The community, the ecosystem tools also opened my eyes to so many other opportunities and insights. Having conversation with the individuals that we met while on the trip. So there are several things that we already mapped out that will get implemented as we continue our journey at the lab here in Nigeria. So especially about processes and operational processes and interaction with all our stakeholders, be it the people, the grassroots talent, or the investors that or our partners, community and stakeholder management is also one of the things that some of the things I picked up, some of the things I'm going to be implementing here, and that I believe will also help our work here in Ogbomosho to thrive better and then also grow our community. So yeah, there are so many things to get done. And of course, to be kind, we started working on these things, but it will take a little bit of time to unpack all the things that, all the insight I gained, all the things I learned while on this trip. But of course, there's definitely so many things that we're going to be leveraging here.
All right. It was truly, truly an honor to have you in Rwanda, the Design Lab, and to have you on this podcast. We hope that also in one of the things that we hope to leverage, that maybe we'll have some more partnerships together. Maybe we will visit sometime soon and learn more from Nigeria. Thank you very much, Funto.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Yeah, thank you very much. So yeah, talking about partnership, we're working on like, I think we have about two projects in the pipeline I'll be working on with the design lab. So of course there are like many rooms for partnerships, and even the people that we met, Stanley from CNU, Coach Moore from ALU. So different people and partnerships are already building up right from this conversation and from this trip. So yeah, it's been a pleasure being at Rwanda, and learning all the things, and also working with you all, meeting you, Joel, and seeing the energy and everybody at the design lab. It's been such a great pleasure. So yeah, thank you very much for having me.
We're meeting you as well. Hope to see you soon. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Joe. Have a great day.
Thank you.